But dear Lord, we desire you. We need you. Dear Lord, we've sung about that this morning, that we need you amongst us. Lord, would you come? Come and be amongst us. We've heard your word spoken to us, dear Lord. Speak to us now, we ask. Provide us with wisdom and understanding. Enlarge our minds, our lives. Quicken us, dear Lord, through the power of your Spirit, so that we would change and would become your people. We ask all these things in Christ Jesus' name, and God's people said. Thank you. Well, thank you very much for inviting me here this morning. I'm afraid Terry can't be here. He's not very well at the moment. He has this nasty flu bug that's going around, so he sends his apologies. And I know he'll miss kissing all the ladies this morning. So, of course, you'll miss the word that God gives to him. But it's a pleasure to be amongst you. And I think thanks, Cheryl, for reading from Philippians for us. People don't like this particular word that I'm going to really look at from our Bible passage. And my God will meet all your needs. People don't like that word, need. Don't know why. They feel perhaps if they have a need, they fail. They failed the Lord in some way. That they failed if they acknowledge it. And because as a people and as a church, you see, we must have needs. We have to have needs. It's not something that we should be ashamed of or run away from. And as individuals, we should have needs. I don't know about you, but I have needs. I have needs, especially with God. Just having a need doesn't mean that we're greedy or we failed in some way. But you see, we need to be needy. Perhaps you've come to church today with a need. Well, that's exactly as it should be. That's okay. You know, perhaps your need is to be touched by God. I don't know about you this morning, the worship we've just received, but do you have a desire to be touched by God? Do you have that passion inside of you that says, Lord, please be amongst my life right now because I need you. I need you. I know I do. I need God in a powerful way. A powerful way. Perhaps you need to hear something because your heart is needy. You need some love in your life. Some compassion that somebody needs to give you, whether it's from the church or from your neighbor or your loved one or a leader perhaps within the church. You need to have that touch of compassion this morning. Our Lord provides compassion for the world, for he sent his Son for you. As individuals, so that you might be free, you might have power, you might be enabled. You men here might become warriors to go and search the streets for the souls that are lost and that are so less fortunate than yourselves. Perhaps you need to experience some wisdom for your life or power. That the worship you've already received, that you need to worship the Lord more through his word. Perhaps you have a need to be touched by God's Holy Spirit so that your life would change. I don't know about you, but my life needs to change all the time. I don't know if you're satisfied with your life and what it is. I know I'm not satisfied with mine, especially with the Lord. Perhaps you have a need for healing or encouragement, a smile. You need to be strengthened, or you have a touch from someone to banish your fear. Have you got fear amongst you here this morning? I was talking to my daughter's fiance, and he should have gone to the dentist this last week, and he chickened out because he needed some teeth removed. I have great sympathy. I'm terrified of dentists. I don't know about you. Something happened when I was young. And I think if any of you have experienced the dentist that used to go to schools, you probably have justified fear. Justified fear. But we all have fears, don't we? where the next pay packet's coming from, whether or not the person we're living our lives with will be there when we get home, or those within our family, are they going to be there, or perhaps they're going to leave us for some reason that we don't understand, because they perceive that they have a need which they're trying to fulfill, but what they're filling that need with isn't coming from God and developing and growing them. Perhaps it's that letter coming from the hospital or the doctor to say, we're terrified about that result. But you see, God has you in his hands. God is lifting you up. God is enabling you to be the people that you need to be. So no matter what comes your way, even though there are times of difficulty, he's holding you. Even in those joyful times, I know many people can't have difficulty in accepting the joy that can come into our lives. God is still holding us. Still holding us, protecting us, encouraging us. If we would just have a listen to hear what he would say to us. People strive in this world, don't we? We try to eradicate our needs. We're told that we should have perhaps this sort of life. Our goal, the world tells us, is to be on permanent holiday on a golden beach with palm trees swaying in the wind and being served a cocktail. Well, if you're a Baptist, you know that it has to be a non-alcoholic cocktail. Perhaps a virgin pina colada or something like that will do nicely. And we'll serve that on regular intervals. We have no worries, no issues, no aches and pains, just one thought on our minds of when the evening meal will be served. If you ask my wife, she will tell you, after about the sixth day of being on holiday, I'm very uncomfortable. Because I feel I should be home. I should be doing something. To be inactive for that long is difficult for me. I don't know what perhaps your life, perhaps you'd feel, oh, I'd love to be able to go on holiday. But I don't think we're a people who are built to have that our life experience. It's just that. I think we'd be bored very quickly. And especially as the people of God, then we know perhaps how we blessed we are. Then we know we should be out within the harvest fields, getting the harvest in so that God might be ministering to them, because we are such a fortunate people. But perhaps if we have this idyllic life, perhaps that is who we're supposed to be with Christ. Is the life that you have or believe you need to desire like that? But Jesus, this is how quickly he sees how we are in those situations. It says this in Revelation 3, verse 17. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So if we think we have everything, we're settled. Christ says, hold on a moment. This is what your existence is. If we believe that we have everything, then the needs that we really need are missing from our lives. Christ tells us that we become wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. We've distanced ourselves from God, and we have placed other things between us and him. I don't know about you, but that's a place I never want to be in. It's sometimes I find myself in that place where I'm distant from God. I've moved away from him. I've missed to see which way he has gone. I have quickly then have to run to catch up. Have you distanced yourself from God in that way? As God's people, you see, we should be happy with the presence of God. But we should be never happy with the level that we receive. I know I'm not. What about you? I desire more of God, more of Christ in my life, more of him changing my life. Even at that times, that can be painful. I need that pain. You, if you have a life like that, you need more of Christ in your life. If we're satisfied with the souls who are coming to to know him. I know I'm not satisfied with that. If we're fulfilled by our relationship with Christ, I ask myself, what is missing in mine? I need to be striving for more. How about you? Are you satisfied where you are with Christ and with God? Do you know him as well as you think you're going to know him? So that you understand your purpose in life? I know I'm very dissatisfied with mine. I want more of him in my life. If you live your life with a belief that you're in need of nothing and that you've arrived, then there's really something fundamentally wrong with who and what you are and your purposes with Christ. Perhaps you have a home, you're secure financially, you've no need of anything regarding your family, transport is not an issue, food is in your belly, and you believe you have no need of anything, then that's the most dangerous place to be. For you see, it's all about yourselves. What are you going to do in that situation? Don't get me wrong, it's great if we're blessed in that way. It's nothing to feel guilty about. But you're given the opportunity, the platform, so that you can reach out and you can search for God in comfort and in blessing and thanking so much for what you have received. It could be, perhaps, that you're struggling, you're falling into debt. Perhaps you hate your family and your family hates you. Perhaps you're miserable. Your circumstances are taking over your life. You feel swamped and you're in the middle of a predicament that you feel that you're drowning in your own problems. All seems hopeless. How can God do anything with you and for you? You know, in our misery, God shouts at us. He asks us to hear that, yes, I've got you in control. Trust me. Allow me to walk with you and I will transform your life. Walk with me and enable your life to become the testimony it needs to be. For I desire to bless you and encourage you. From your misery, you can become a blessing. From your richness, you can become a blessing. But it all depends what we're reaching for, what we're searching for. As Christians, we should not be reducing our desire for need, but rather embracing the requirement of our need. We should never be satisfied of who and what we are in Christ. You see, that need has to become within us a positive force, especially in our lives. It doesn't matter if it comes from good or ill. The need must produce results for Christ so that the glory and honor may go to him. So the result would be the growth and develop in our lives. Do your needs and desires bring glory to him, or are you just after needs that bring you carnal and your lusts their fulfillment? You see, our need is to bring glory to Christ, not glory for our own lives and what we desire. They're in the middle of them, invariably in our lives, and there's something that we perhaps struggle with because we know that they bring no glory ultimately for our life or Christ. Rather, we should supplant those needs with needs that bring glory to him. Glory to him. And you all have the potential to bring glory to Christ. For you are an awesome and powerful people if you allow God to minister into your life. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he writes to them and says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in the glory in Christ Jesus." Does God respond to your needs? He did to Paul's, and we are promised that he will in ours. If you trust and obey, if we reach out and ask him and be honest and then respond to him. I wonder what your needs are here this morning. Perhaps I've mentioned, perhaps I've touched on some of them. I'm sure your leaders would say, well, we have a need within the church. We need finances and growth. We need time and development. We need a greater yearning for truth and love. What about yours? Do you have kingdom needs and desires, or is it all just about lusts? If we want our lives sorted out, if we are able to be in a place where God can respond to us, then we have to be involved in His work. I don't know about you, but really, the things that I do really achieve when I try to do it for myself, achieve what God wants to achieve. I find when I'm mostly on my own mind and God's somewhere else because I've missed Him, then rarely do I have needs that are fulfilled. Have you ever considered what God's needs are and how you fit into them? You see, God is all about souls. Paul personalizes his response to his Philippians, stating that he knew God. He knows that his God will supply all his needs because of the riches in the glory of Christ Jesus. Not because he wanted it, because it would bring glory to God. You cannot be blessed, you see, if you have no need, and that need is based on something that you desire rather than something that God desires. So you have to have that relationship with Christ. I wonder if you have the same conviction as Paul about God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Or is your relationship and faith and belief in Christ so distant and your faith so small that it's no faith at all? Is your experience that you never expect the riches of heaven because you have no need or no expectation? And that you believe that all that is banned to you because your life and your experience of life has kept you away from these things. You know, I always find it very strange in many places that I go to and many Christians that I speak to, that God in general takes the bottom rung when there's a problem or issue rather than the first. I hope that isn't the same for you. You see, God is a God of plenty. He's a God of bounty. A God who wants to be active and is willing to respond to your lives. But are you willing to respond to Him? You know, we hurt Him when we ignore Him because He desires to bless us. We should always consider the King of Kings and Lord of Lords first, rather than be reliant on ourselves and the resources that we have been forgiven. For our God desires to be in our lives. I'm sure many of you who have been a parent, your hearts hurt when you see your child struggle and they feel unwilling to come to you. It's the programming of our world, unfortunately, that we feel that as we grow older, we got to get reliant on ourselves. But really, we should be reliant upon each other and our Lord especially. And that's something not to be ashamed of. It's something to be embraced. Because why else would God send Christ into this world? Let me encourage you. For our God wishes to be responsive to you. He desires to encourage you. Do not hesitate, but run to Him. Do not be shy, for He has a smile and arms that are open wide for you. Never be reluctant to come to the King. Don't rely upon yourselves and your family. Rather, come to the King and He will put everything into place for you. You see, all blessing is from God, and that includes our family, our friends, our church, our community in which we live. See, God gave us these things. Gave us our friends, gave us our families, for He is the source. And with Him at the center, all things can be fulfilled. We must never be satisfied, however. We should always need to enlarge who and what we are, who and what we are as a church. We should desire greater blessings from God. This Paul has encouraged people time and time again, those who he met. Yes, it's wonderful if you can speak in tongues, but I desire you to have the greater gifts. Seek that. And that goes through all of our faith and our relationship with God, to seek the greater understanding of who and what our God is in our lives. I don't know about you, I've been a Christian now since 1993. And I have far greater need for God now than I did then. I have far greater need now, and I must never grow complacent. I must never be satisfied. My hunger should increase, for it says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in the glory of Christ." What then? You as a church. You within your family. You, this fellowship. You as individuals. Can you come to God here this morning and reach out and ask for what your need is to be fulfilled? Can you say it out loud and within your prayer closet? Is what you can bring honest and bring glory to him? Will you then allow God to respond to you for your request, so that blessing would pour into your life? Would you allow God to amaze you in his generosity, so that then you can bring glory to him? This day, are you prepared to allow Christ to respond to you? Perhaps it's healing or love, a kind word, perhaps presence or warmth, strength, love, company, peace, encouragement, engagement, influence, forgiveness, salvation. Whatever you need, why not come before God and allow him to minister to you? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for your congregation who have met here to come, dear Lord. We've sung about worshipping and praising you, that all that we are is for you. Dear Lord, I would ask now, whatever need is required here, whether it's healing, that your people would feel that touch. Whether it's blessing in some form or the other, whether or not that they need love, that they're lonely and they need companionship, dear Lord. That if they lack finances, you would show them a way and give them a light at the end of your tunnel. Perhaps it's arrogance because they feel that they do not need you, dear Lord. Enable them to open the door and allow you in, so that you would sup with them and change their life and make them a person so awesome that the world would seek them out to see why they are changed. Perhaps there's an individual here or more that needs a special touch in your Holy Spirit, dear Lord, that they need to be overflown in that way, so that, dear Lord, they could become closer to you and manifest you in this world. Dear Lord, whatever the need is for your people, let's spend a few moments of quiet so that you may touch them in that way. Spend a few moments of quiet now with the Lord. We thank you and praise you and bless you for the work that you're doing amongst your people. Thank you for the forgiveness that many perhaps have received, the healing that you've placed upon many, the overflowing with your Spirit for courage. Oh, dear Lord, you're an awesome God, and you desire your people to come and be blessed. Thank you, dear Lord, for these people here this morning and your presence. Amen.